The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker and owner, in with Pat Devaney.
Good morning.
Good morning, my husband and fellow realtor, and our special guest, Michelle McCormack, a mortgage specialist. Hello.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. We are here every Saturday and Sunday discussing various real estate topics. We have a full-time real estate office with many full-time realtors. We have been listing and selling real estate for over 40 years. Feel free to email us at
questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
If you would like to hear a certain real estate topic discussed, please feel free to email us at suggestions@jruddy.com. That's suggestions@jruddy.com. And you can view our listings or search the MLS by going to jruddy.com. That's jruddy.com. Okay, Michelle, tell me a little bit about you and how long you've been in the mortgage business.
Well, my name is Michelle McCormack, and I have been a expert in the field of residential mortgage finance since 1987. So I've seen both the 12 and 13% interest rates as well as the recent dip down into the threes. And been a lot of changes in the last 3 or 4 years, and it is getting a little bit tougher out there. And that's part of what I'm here to do today, is to help your clients find their way through the mortgage maze and make things just a little bit easier, or if not easier, at least a little bit more understandable.
Things are tight out there, and people are saying you can't get a mortgage, you can't get any money. Is that true?
No, there's lots of money to still be had. It's just more painful, if you will. There is no doubt about it that we are in a credit crunch, and lenders today are looking at every customer with a fine-tooth comb. Each file is being documented to the hilt, and it does make it at times uncomfortable for today's home buyers and refinance customers.
So are you not working with a lot of pre-approved buyers these days?
We prefer everyone to get pre-approved. The smartest thing to do would be to sit down with a lender before you even contact a real estate agent. At least that way, a good lender is going to sit down, go over your income, your assets with you, to determine how much of a loan that you can comfortably afford. And I do stress the word comfortably. Just because we as lenders say you can afford this doesn't necessarily mean you personally can afford it. You know, you have to take into account your lifestyle needs. For instance, if you like to go out to eat a lot, or if you like to take exotic vacations, you have to have room for that in your budget. All those things are important, and people need to take a good hard look at the way they live when determining how much room they have in their budget for housing payment.
Well, there's a saying, don't be house poor.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Never be house poor. Never. It's just, and I know you're a realtor, and I'm sorry, but it's just a roof over somebody's head. And the reality is, you need to have a life in addition to owning a home.
Well, there should be quality of life and enjoyment. I can certainly agree with that. I mean, our lifestyle, too. We don't want to be tied to a house and a mortgage payment. So.
Right, that's not the only thing I want to be able to afford.
No. And I think because of the recent events in the mortgage industry last 3-4 years, I think people are looking at that a lot closer.
I think that you're right. I think consumers as a whole, on their own, are saying, whoa, wait a minute. Yes, I can afford this McMansion, but do I want to? And do I want to carry that monthly payment for the next 30 years, because that's a long time.
Well, as I always like to say, maybe you can afford it, but can you clean it? Can you keep it clean?
Can you keep that barn clean?
Or can you afford the utilities on it?
Oh, yes. Yes. Excellent point.
I built the McMansion. I fell into the same rut as everyone else, and I built this. And I did my budget calculations, and yes, I could afford it. However, I never expected the utility bills to triple. I knew the house size that I had tripled, but stupid me didn't even think about the utilities. And that's just some of the things that catch people unaware. So I think that today people are more cognizant of how much they're willing to put out just for a housing payment. I think that's important.
Well, we have a lot of pre-approved buyers, and there is supply. I don't want to send out a message that there aren't listings available, because there are. But we have a whole list of buyers right now that are pre-approved looking for something that just isn't out there yet. And I know that for us, we make sure that we're looking in different price ranges and areas, and maybe that beyond what the consumer has, the client has told us, maybe they want Taylor. Well, we'll look in Moosic too, in order to find that house that they're looking for, that special request that they want. So the inventory, even though it's there, there are some properties that we'd love to see become available that just aren't right now.
Well, that is so important right now. For those of you who are listening that are thinking of putting your house on the market, there's never been a better time. If you're serious about selling and are willing to price it to sell, this is a great time to put your house on the market, because we do have a lot of pre-approved buyers out there that can't find anything, because in a lot of instances, the houses that are out there have been overpriced in the beginning. You're pricing your home aggressively. I see where they're typically gone in 2 weeks. And I'm dealing with customers, multiple customers that may be bidding on the same house if it's priced right.
Yeah, I got that situation going on right now. We had a listing. It was listed for a week, and the house was priced right in the right location, and two people were bidding against each other. It actually went over list price.
That is the key today, pricing the house correctly for today's economic climate and dealing with a professional realtor.
You actually had two situations back to back.
I'm
multiple offer situations.
I'm just doing good right now. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I seem to be attracting them all, but it's two situations I have.
So, Pat, do you think it was because it was priced correctly, or was it priced too low?
No, priced to sell. It was priced correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Both houses were priced just right. I mean, people come in and then they overprice their houses. They say, oh, my house is worth $1 million. Nobody's going to pay $1 million, but people in their mind, they think the house is worth so much more. It's only what the market is, what someone's willing to pay. That's all the house is worth, really. I mean, we do comps, we do comparisons, we see what other homes in the area are listing for, but you should really take some of our guidance when you're pricing a home. I mean, we really do know what we're doing. We really do.
Well, a lot of people, too, I mean, in their defense, want to have a cushion and be able to negotiate, and they have a number that they want to get. So, and I understand that, but again,
there's realities that has to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's another deal I'm doing right now. The house has been on the market for 2 years, and it's selling for $50,000 less than the original list price. It was too high for too long. Now they're running away from it because they've been carrying utilities for 2 years. They've been carrying taxes. They've been carrying all of these bills where they could have saved that money in the beginning if they would have priced the house at really what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the fine line. I know there's a house that's coming on the market shortly, and it was on the market 4 years ago when I was looking to buy another home. And at that time, it was listed at $199,000, and I bid $185,000, and they said no. Well, they ended up selling it 6 months after I bought another house for $3,000 less than what I offered. So they could have gotten $3,000 more and sell it 6 months earlier.
And not had to pay all those expenses.
Exactly.
Well, we live and we learn.
Yeah. Pricing it right is the true key.
And if you have any questions anytime during the week, you can email them to us at questions@jready.com, and we'll put them on the next show.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate and our special guests, our mortgage specialist, Michelle McCormack. And on today's show, we have been talking about the hows and whys of getting a mortgage in today's extremely difficult financial environment. So do you have any tips on somebody that might be like a first-time home buyer that say they want to buy a home? They come to you, and they're living at home, or they're renting, but they pay their rent in cash. What suggestions do you
have
for something?
Well, preparation is the key, okay? That is the most important thing that a first-time home buyer or anyone at this point, frankly, can do for themselves. One of the things that I have been speaking to you about privately before this show is the fact that there's what's called conventional lending out there, and then there's government lending, which you may have heard is FHA and VA loans and so forth. On conventional loans right now, if you don't have a housing payment history, meaning that you can prove that you pay rent, and you have to be able to prove this via canceled checks and not just rent receipts, you can't get a loan through a conventional loan. You have to go FHA. And even some instances, depending on the lender that you're going to be using for FHA, they may be looking to verify your current housing payment as well. So the one thing that I can suggest you do right off the bat is if you are paying rent, pay every month by personal check without fail. Forget about the cash. Well, it is nice and it's convenient. Cash is not an acceptable form. What lenders need to do today, whether we like it or not, is develop a paper trail on every customer. And if you're paying cash for a lot of things, you don't have that paper trail that is so important in today's lending environment.
Okay, now correct me if I'm wrong, but it's some time ago, it was allowable if the landlord wrote a letter stating that this person paid for the last 2 years every month X amount of dollars. That's not acceptable or sufficient any longer?
It's not sufficient.
Okay.
They really want canceled checks unless it's what's called an institutional landlord. For instance, property management company, or let's say they live in an apartment complex. So that management company, they can verify via letter or via a rental verification form. But as far as Joe Smith, the landlord, they really don't, the underwriters don't take much credence in that, because sometimes you'll have a landlord say whatever they have to just possibly to get a bad tenant out and into a home of their own, so...
Well, and two, I'm thinking fraud. I guess, you know, anybody can write a letter.
Exactly. Right? And the reason they don't take rent receipts is because anybody could go to Staples and buy a rent receipt book.
Sure. Right.
That's why they want to cancel checks.
Gotcha.
So start paying your rent by check. That's important.
Okay. Well, we're going to be going to a break in a little bit. And before we do so, we like to review a listing.
It's 1032 Crown Avenue in Scranton. It's Tony Blasi's listing. It's a multi-unit, three-family home. It's $152,500. It's a one-bedroom and two-bedroom units. It's on a dead-end block. It's a nice, quiet block down at the end. It's got hardwood floors, separate electric. The property's in very good condition, a large rear deck with a nice view of the valley. It's a nice home. It's 1032 Crown Avenue for $152,500. That's a multi-unit, three-family.
Thank you, Pat. Well, it's break time, so we will be back in a short bit with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Selling or buying a house, no question, it's a difficult decision, and you want every little detail to be perfect. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe down the road. Think Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Why should you choose Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate? Because they help people. They've been helping people do this over and over for over 40 years. They offer advice on how to decorate an empty house, how to get that old or new house ready for sale, what to repair or change to make it look its very best, what is a suitable price, and how to get it sold. Maybe you're moving into a new neighborhood. You want to know about the school, place of worship, and Little League teams. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate will guide you through every step of the process from start to finish. From the showing, the negotiating, the endless paperwork, the appraisal and inspection, then the settlement. They listen to your needs and concentrate on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724. Or visit us at www.jruddy.com, where you will experience the gold standard.
We are back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I'm Jackie Ruddy, in with Pat Devaney.
Hello.
Hello, my husband, fellow realtor, and our special guest, Michelle McCormack. And Michelle has been doing mortgages for how long?
Since 1987.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it just shows you how old I'm getting. Whoa, that's scary.
If anybody wants to get in touch with Michelle, please call me or Pat at the office.
Yeah, you can call us toll-free at 888-399-JACK or 344-6724.
And we'll make sure that you get in touch with Michelle, who would be happy to help you in your mortgage needs. Now, before the break, we were talking about preparation of someone that's looking to purchase a property, say a first-time home buyer, who is renting and pays cash or hasn't established a paper trail. And what your suggestions are there is to get a paper trail established.
That's really, really important. We've got to develop the ability to make a housing payment. Let's say you're living at home with your mom and dad and you're giving them a couple of, you know, $100 a month for housing expense. You know what? Write them a check. And on the memo portion, write rent. That's important. A lender is going to look for 12 months canceled checks. So, you know, the longer you can show the paper trail, the better off you are. You have to understand, we don't want your mortgage to be declined. We'll do everything that we can to make sure that when you're ready, you're going to have an approved loan. There's nothing worse than spending money on inspection fees and appraisal fees only to find out your loan is going to be declined. So that's why it's most important to start with the lender before it is to start with the house. You want to make sure that if you see a house that you like, that you're a ready, willing, and most important, able buyer today.
Hear, hear. I agree with that. Now, what about, what also comes to mind when we're talking about people that pay their bills with cash, and that's really not a bad thing unless you're trying to get financing. What about people that are cash earners, say bartenders in the restaurant, in the food industry, servers?
Well, the only income, unfortunately, we're right now in this environment, we're paying for the lax lending of the past that has resulted in record number of foreclosures and defaulted mortgages. So unfortunately, we cannot use cash as income. The only income that a lender can use today is the income that you tell the Internal Revenue Service that you earn. Now, we recognize that bartenders and hairdressers and newspaper carriers, they get tips. And I don't know about you, but if I were a bartender, I sure as heck wouldn't tell the IRS about how much I really earn. However, because of the tightness in the lending guidelines, we're only allowed to use the income that you tell the IRS. The same goes for self-employed borrowers. Federal Internal Revenue Service guidelines allows you to write off certain business expenses. So on paper, it appears that you're earning a lot less than you really are. But when you're self-employed, the only income that we can use is the income after your business expenses have been deducted out, not your gross sales. So it can be very frustrating.
Sure. Because I'm sure people have the ability to pay the repay, but on paper, it doesn't look like it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, Pennsylvania came up with the law last year, and a mortgage lender has to be able to prove that they verified that a borrower had the ability to repay the loan. And if they can't prove on paper what they looked at to verify that ability, a mortgage lender can get fined up to $10,000 by the state of Pennsylvania now.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
They don't want to get burned like they did in the past.
All these new rules and regulations designed to protect the consumer, it's just ultimately increasing cost to the consumer. Before we came on the show, I was telling Jackie and Pat today about the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, what's called adverse market charges. For those of you who don't know, when a bank or a mortgage lender makes a loan to you, they package it under what's called a mortgage-backed security and sell it as an investment vehicle on Wall Street. They typically go through what's known as a secondary mortgage market, which is Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or in the terms of a government loan, Ginnie Mae. Over the last 5 years, because of all the trouble in the housing market, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae have all had their financial difficulties. Right now, there is not a strong market for investment in mortgage-backed securities because a lot of the investments were pension funds And you see what happened with that. Now the schools are having to raise taxes because they have to fund more into the pension funds and so forth. So in order to make a loan investment grade today, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae are so tight in looking at a customer's file that all lenders, in order to make sure that they can sell that loan, they're double dotting their I's, they're double crossing their T's, because they don't want to be forced into a buyback situation. And all these things are changing cost for the consumers.
Yeah, the consumer has to pay. So we were talking about points and credit scores and things like that, and how you have a graph now. And if you don't have a certain credit score, you will pay an extra half point. Now, a point is...
Or more.
And a point is a percent of the loan.
Right. 1 point equals 1% of the loan amount. So on a $100,000 loan, for instance, each point costs $1,000. It used to be that if you had a 700 score, you were golden, and that was it. You had the best score possible. You were going to get the A rate. That's not true today. The new Fannie Mae adverse market charges. If you have a credit score 740 or above, and you are putting less than 25% down, there is going to be a fee equal to 0.25 point of the loan amount paid at closing. So on a $100,000 loan, because you're putting down less than 25%, you're going to be charged an extra $250. That's what the score of 740.
Wow.
Yeah. The lower your score goes, the higher the fee goes.
Correct, yeah.
I mean, it's really, really scary out there. The difference between someone with a 700 score and a 699 score is $2,000 on a $100,000 loan for 1 point.
1 point in the credit score, one chain, one little point.
1 point. Yeah.
Amazing.
Can mean that much money out of a consumer's pocket because of just all the changes in the industry. So really what we try to help you do in a pre-approval, and really we like to start 3 months before you're actually ready, because if there are issues that we as professionals see that you could do this and change a couple of different ways you pay the bills to raise your credit score, it's going to help you out tremendously.
Yeah, you get to clean things up.
And it's not even clean things up. Credit scores, personally, I don't agree with them. Okay. A credit score is a computer simulation of what they expect a person's credit score to be based on their payment history over the last 24 months. So assuming that they don't lose their job and assuming all things remain the same. So this is what the credit score is, an indicator of what they expect their payment history to be based on the last 24 months. Okay. So that's where it stands. But there's things that people can do to raise their credit scores. One of them is don't let a lot of people run your credit. Every time you have an inquiry, you run the risk of having your score drop because of having an inquiry.
Don't make major purchases would be another.
Don't make major purchases, especially. I can't tell you how many times people will get pre-approved for a mortgage and then go car shopping next week and still think they're pre-approved. You're not. Mm-mm. Okay, you go buy a new car. Forget about the pre-approval. Or they're under contract on a house and then they go furniture shopping because it's 4 years, same as cash. That's taking on new debt. And believe it or not, a lender knows this because they will pull it. They pull a credit report right before closing. Any new debt can just kill your whole mortgage application. So you could potentially buy that furniture for nothing because
mm-hmm.
there is no house.
Right. I just had this discussion with a client of mine. Oh, he says, oh, we're going to go out and get appliances. I says, don't do anything, because he was going to get a new line of credit and he was going to run it up right to the max, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't do anything. I said, the day before closing, they're going to pull your credit. Don't do anything until after you close on the house.
Yeah, don't care what they do the day of closing. You know, after you sign the papers, you want to go buy a house full of furniture.
Go ahead.
You go for it.
Yeah, not
you know.
Not before.
And he said, thank you very much, because he didn't know that.
Right.
And I knew that from that conversation we had with you
right.
last week.
Don't quit your job the day or two before closing. We've had that happen as well. Okay, because they do find out. They make that phone call 24 hours prior to closing. Is so-and-so still employed here? Just because you have a commitment letter today, the lenders are still working in the background to make sure that everything is still legitimate the way you presented it at the time of application. They have to do the due diligence. Unfortunately, they got burned, and we all got burned, you know, because and just a few bad apples spoiled it for all of us.
And how about on credit, when I'm thinking about people like to consolidate so they have one bill, and that's not always a good thing to do, correct?
No, your credit score is based on a few things. So let me go over them. Number one, the amount of credit that you have, okay? Number two, the age of credit that you have. So if you have accounts that are open for a few years, your credit score is going to be higher than someone who has just recently opened credit. Number three, it's based on your current balance to your outstanding credit limits. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have five credit cards, okay? You owe a total of $25,000, but you have limits total of $50,000. You decide, I don't like this, you're going to consolidate everything. So you get one loan for $25,000, and you pay off all your credit card debts. Well, effectively, you just lowered your score tremendously by doing that, because now you've gotten one brand new account, and you've maxed out that new account, and you paid off all your old stuff. So you got to watch how you do it. Just is when you have credit card debt, and if you're working with a professional, they will help you with this when they're looking at your credit and giving you ideas on how you can improve your score. Never have your credit card balances be more than 50% of your limit. So if you have a $5,000 limit, never allow your balance to exceed $2,500. That's extremely important. Make sure that you pay your debts on time. If it's just the minimum that you can pay, that's okay. But pay that debt on time. One late payment, I mean, can just take down your credit score.
Right. That's essential.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Michelle. We're almost out of time, and we love the information you presented here today. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this is great. And if you want to have something, maybe so people can come in person and visit with you, please set something up, and I'd be happy to talk to your customers face-to-face.
Okay. Again, Michelle McCormack, our mortgage specialist. If anybody wants to get in touch with her, please call me at 344-6724. And again, you are listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And before we leave today, we always like to give a tip, and I think this tip ties into our discussion today. Some things that you can do if you're looking to apply for a mortgage before you apply. You can pay down your debt as much as you can before applying for that mortgage. Clean up your credit long before you apply for your mortgage. Do not make a major purchase on credit, and don't apply for new credit. Increase your down payment money and get all your docs in a row. That's not ducks, it's docs. What docs am I talking about? Your bank statements, investment statements, last 2 years of tax returns, pay stubs, just to name a few. Pension statements. Yeah, we had to dig those out. So that concludes our show today. Thank you for joining us and listening to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM with Jackie Ruddy, Pat Devaney.
Thank you.
And Michelle McCormack.
Thank you.
During the week, if you have any real estate questions, you can email us at
questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us toll free at 888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
Thank you for listening, and have a super weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
When selling your property with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, you will experience the gold standard. Our network is your edge, where experience and expertise intersect with your real estate goals and dreams. We know and understand you want to sell at the right price with as few worries as possible. It's reassuring to know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been guiding clients down the golden path of selling for over 40 years. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate makes your dreams a reality by maximizing the exposure of your your property here and around the nation, harvesting the power of the internet. We shepherd you through every step of the selling process from start to finish, from the marketing, the offer, the inspection, the contract, then the close. Great listeners, skilled negotiators, and focused on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service you deserve. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724, or visit www.jruddy.com, where they will work to champion your best interests all the way.